Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, April the 12th, 2012. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and on KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. So combine the two stations, and we've got great reach for this program, covering at least seven of Arizona's 15 counties. And we live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at the radio station's website as well, kvoi.com. You can hear the program on any of three venues for your 24/7 anywhere, anytime listening at buckmastershow.com, TucsonSentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com. We also want to encourage you to visit the Buckmaster Show website, where you will see prominently displayed on the Buckmaster Show website what we call the Show Pledge. And what is the Show Pledge? Well, listener opinions matter, respect the audience, forum for ideas, quality guests, and informed listeners. The Buckmaster Show Pledge at buckmastershow.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to one. We will kick things off with Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star, on this very bizarre development concerning the replacement for Daniel Patterson. Will be going to Sarah in a few moments. Also, we had scheduled State Representative Ted Vogt, chair of the House Ethics Committee, which has been spearheading that investigation into State Representative Patterson. Mr. Vogt is involved in a vote on the floor of the Arizona House of Representatives, so he is a bit delayed. We can tell you at 30 minutes past the hour, we will continue with our CEO interview series presented by Trio. This series introduces the Buckmaster Show listeners to the decision makers for Tucson and Southern Arizona. Today, we'll be talking with Patricia Feeney of Chase Bank. Then we'll close out the show with longtime educator Dr. Robert Hendricks, the contributor on education to the Buckmaster Show. He has some very interesting things to say about that letter that the 10 former members of the TUSD Governing Board sent to the current Governing Board. Dr. Hendricks will weigh in on that. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can always join us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have an idea for a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we encourage you to contact us. Now let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star and a regular on our Friday Reporters Roundtable. And Sarah, we're going to give you a little 24-hour advance for the Reporters Roundtable, because this story with Daniel Patterson, Sarah, just gets more bizarre.
It really does. And thank you for having me on, Bill. It's quite the soap opera, I have to say. It has political intrigue. It has personal drama. It has surprise resignations and twists and turns. So where we are now is trying to figure out the House Ethics Committee voted unanimously to recommend that Representative Daniel Patterson be expelled from the House. And before the full House could take a vote, Mr. Patterson gave his letter of resignation to the Speaker of the House, Andy Tobin. And the kind of where we go from now is, from here, is the question is, Daniel Patterson was elected as a Democrat. He was, up until, you know, the last week or so, registered as a Democrat, but then he switched his party registration to independent. And, of course, there is no independent party. That's kind of the whole point. So now that he has resigned, the question is, is his replacement going to be chosen by a group of independents that the Board of Supervisors will choose from, or will it be from the party that he was elected in, which was the Democratic Party? And we have now a letter from Secretary of State Ken Bennett saying that because Mr. Patterson was an independent when he submitted his resignation, that the law is very clear and that a group of people registered as independents from his district, the Pima County Board of Supervisors, will have to appoint a citizens committee. They will take applications and then forward their choice to the Pima County Board of Supervisors, which will name his replacement. But it gets a little trickier because, okay, remember how Patterson was a Democrat and then he became an independent really fairly recently. He switched his party registration back to Democrat yesterday, but it's just a matter of not even a half an hour because he, according to Ken Bennett, Patterson turned in his letter of resignation, which meant his resignation was effective as of 1:36 Wednesday. And when that happened, he was an independent because he went online to the MVD, tried to change his party. That did not register and did not change his party until 2:01. So
that's according to, I guess, the state records from the State Motor Vehicle Division,
Yes. Which
operates the website that takes care of these party registrations.
Right. And that's, you know, you can register to vote there. You can do your car registration. It's a really good website, actually.
This, you know, opens up so many different – well, I have so many questions about this because if the supervisors were going from a pool of people who were Democrats, I would imagine the pool was much larger than it's going to be for independents. That's just a guess, but that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I would think, I mean, I don't know the specifics for Legislative District 29, but statewide, it's actually pretty even, although LD 29 is historically much more Democratic-leaning. I don't know how many of those are just independents who vote Democratic. But yeah, it's going to be, there's no party apparatus among the independents. I mean, it's kind of the whole point. So hopefully it will be not just a bunch of people who are scrambling now to change their registration for Democrat to independent in order to qualify to be selected, but that they will somehow find people who truly are independent-minded to see, you know, in terms of party affiliation, to fill out the rest of his term. And he was up for re-election anyway, and the session is ending, so there isn't going to be a lot for whoever this person is to do.
No, there won't be a lot to do, but I guess this is a timely matter. They have to, the panel that is appointed will have to accept and review the applications from other political independents in the district within 7 days, then forward 3 of the nominees to the supervisors. Then the supervisors have 5 days to select from the list.
Right. And, of course, I mean, the question always it comes down to, Daniel Patterson ran twice and was elected twice as a Democrat, and then he did this weird thing where, and who knows what exactly his motivation was, in the middle of this ethics investigation, he switched to independent, and then at the last minute, but like 29 minutes too late, tried to switch back to the Democratic Party. So I don't know if an independent voter is, it's going to be interesting to see how the Board of Supervisors finds the people to sit on the committee, and then how those people will comb through and select the person that they put or the people they put forward to the supervisors to finally select. But yeah, you're right. It's going to go. I mean, we're talking maybe 2 weeks, I think.
Sarah Garrett Gasson is with us, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, was there any advantage in Patterson resigning rather than being expelled? What was your feeling on that? What's your thinking on that?
Well, the thing that kind of struck me is that his letter of resignation, which is dated April 11th, and the first line says, Honorable Speaker Tobin and House members, with this letter I reluctantly resign, and then he's written in, or someone has handwritten in, the word now, under strong protest. I've been forced to resign due to the fact that the House has become a very hostile work environment for me. which, I mean, that is kind of classic to trying to set up a lawsuit language, the hostile work environment. So I would not be surprised, I don't know that he's going to do this, but at this point I would not be surprised if there is some sort of legal action, because he's contended the entire time that the ethics committee process, the complaint, the investigation has all been not done properly, and that he hasn't been given a chance to defend himself. So I don't think we've seen the end of this.
Let's talk a little bit about the editorial, the lead editorial in the Arizona Daily Star today. Patterson, the headline, Patterson does the right thing for the wrong reasons. A little bit more on that, Sarah.
Yeah, what we've talked about, and I did write the editorial today, and of course that, you know, speaks for the Star's opinion side of things. It's that you read the investigation done by the attorneys, and throughout there are some unnamed allegations about how Patterson was allegedly intimidating or threatening, or people didn't want to be alone with him. But then you read his response to that, which I think is like 19 pages. And it's basically the kind of classic, I'm sorry if you took that the wrong way, kind of apology, non-apology. It's not the kind of thing where he says, you know what, I have done wrong things and I am sorry and I recognize this. I think the most telling thing for me was in part of the news coverage, it was that Mr. Patterson was asked, did you try to intimidate a particular lawmaker who is a woman? And he said, no, I didn't. And the lawmakers, I spoke with her later, and she said she was not intimidated. But then the question came back as, well, she may not have been intimidated, but did you try to intimidate her? So a lot of this, in our view, kind of hung on the idea that Patterson has not seen his own role in any of this, from what we can tell. He's been spoken to by his Democratic Party leadership in the past. The behavior continued, and we called for his resignation a week or so ago, and it took a while, but he finally did the right thing, in our view.
And I think that the Star did hold off a little bit on calling for the resignation because, and I don't want to put words in your mouth or your colleagues, but I think from what I gather, you wanted to kind of let this play out a little bit, right, Sarah?
Right, yeah. I mean, you don't want to jump to conclusions, especially when you're calling for someone's resignation. So we've thought that, you know, we read the full 32-some-page report of the investigation. We've been following this case as it develops for a while. We've then read Mr. Patterson's response, and actually, interestingly, last week he called the Star and said, you know, he would like the chance to write a guest opinion piece in his own defense. And of course, you know, we had made our position entirely clear that we thought he should resign. It's only fair that he have his own chance to say what he thinks, and so that ran in the Sunday Arizona Daily Star on the opinion page, but it wasn't really anything other than what we had already heard from him. I never hit a woman, I never did this, my actions are being taken out of context, I never intended to be threatening, and it just comes to the point where if enough people are telling you that your behavior is perceived a certain way, you just have to accept that, yeah, it might be being, you may not intend that, but that's how it's being perceived, and you need to take matters into your own hands, and that's your responsibility. And we just didn't see that coming from Mr. Patterson.
Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star, is with us. Sarah will be with me tomorrow, and it will be very interesting because we will have Jeff Rogers, the chair of the Democratic Party. Sarah and I will be introducing and talking with Mr. Rogers to the Buckmaster Show listeners on our Friday Focus interview. Sarah, we're going to take a break right here. I may have a couple more questions for you. Can you hang on?
Oh, of course.
Okay. Sarah Garrett-Gasson will hang on through the break. If you would like to call us and perhaps weigh in on this Patterson matter, we would love to hear from you. 790-2040, 790-2040. Stay with us on The Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Augustus Paris Antiques is a very special place for the discriminating antique collector, specializing in one-of-a-kind pieces of 19th century to mid-20th century European antique furniture and objects of art. Owner Roberta Franzheim has a great eye for quality and lasting appeal. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1224. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with us from the Arizona Daily Star. And if you would like to join in the conversation, we're talking about politics and ethics, 790-2040. Sarah, I guess ethical concerns have always been with us, but we had the Scott Bungard case and now the Patterson case. Do voters really have to worry? Is this something that perhaps people are going to be taking a real hard look now when they vote?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I would hope so. But as Daniel Patterson himself pointed out on several occasions, some of these issues with allegations of domestic violence and things like that were already swirling when he was most recently elected to his, current term that he just resigned from. So his contention is that people knew about this. They didn't think it was a big deal. He has also said, something I find incredibly offensive, and a lot of folks in his district do too, I'm sure, that the way he behaves and is because he's from a tough district on the south side of Tucson, which is ridiculous.
Sarah, I was going to say we have Representative Ted Vogt, Republican from Tucson, chair of the House Ethics Committee, with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Sarah, you want to hang in there and perhaps get a quick question?
Sure.
So let's go to Representative Vogt. Representative Vogt, thanks for being with us.
Bill, thank you very much for having me on.
I know we wanted to get you on a little earlier in the program. I'm sorry we're so short on time, but you were in the middle of a vote in the House. Give me your bottom line on the whole Patterson issue. Are you satisfied it was handled in the right way, Representative?
Bill, yes, I'm satisfied that it was handled in the right way. It doesn't mean that it wasn't difficult, and I would say quite traumatic for the body. I mean, you hear all the time that these sort of things are a huge distraction, and now having had to go through the process, it absolutely is one.
And as far as the way Patterson saying that he, in effect, really didn't get perhaps his day in court that he should have, are you satisfied with the way it went?
I am. It was kind of a balancing of the equities or whatever, but if you look at the Constitution, the state Constitution, in effect what it says in terms of what our due process is the House may expel a member with 2/3 majority for disorderly conduct. That's all the Constitution says. And quite frankly, the week prior, some members had made a motion to do that on the floor. So, there was a movement to give him even less process. And I think that would be a very bad precedent to set. So, we worked through the process, and at the end, I think the right outcome happened.
Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Sarah, a question for Representative Vogt, chair of the House Ethics Committee.
Hi, Representative Vogt. I was wanted to ask about one thing that Daniel Patterson said in the course of all of this, and basically his point of view is that he's been targeted for political reasons, and that if someone wanted to, they could make a report, an investigation similar to the one that the outside attorney did, about all, any number of lawmakers now at the Capitol, and that if you want to make someone look bad, you can, and that he's not alone in this type of behavior. I wanted to get your response to that, and because there are other lawmakers in both bodies who are not afraid of disagreeing with other people in public, let's just say. So what do you think about him?
Well, I think that claim is false, in the sense that, we make accommodations for members up here because we realize that we're up here, we deal with tough issues, and sometimes tempers flare. But what we were looking at is, his course of conduct had just risen way above the threshold to the point where it was affecting business up here. And it was of a character and an intensity that was beyond what I would say is a minimum level of decorum. So I heard him say that in the hearing, and it just wasn't. Again, I don't think that would actually ever happen because his behavior was just so over the top.
Sarah Garrett-Gasson of the Star, we will see you tomorrow on our Friday Focus interview as we talk with Jeff Rogers. Representative Vogt, thank you very much. One quick question. I've only got a couple seconds. When are you going to wrap up the session, does it look like?
We're shooting for, I think at this point now, the end of the month. It really is. We just need to strike a budget deal. So probably the end of April.
We will talk to you soon. I had hoped to get into some of your tort reform legislation, but you can bring us up to date on that perhaps in the next couple of weeks. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on. Sorry I was late.
That's okay. Representative Ted Vogt with us on the Buckmaster Show. Still to come, we're going to have our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show presented by Trio. We'll be talking about the economic situation in the lending institutions and the banking. That's next on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A Florida judge says there is probable cause to move ahead with a second-degree murder case against George Zimmerman. The Neighborhood Watch volunteer made his first court appearance today in the shooting death in Florida of unarmed teenager Trayvon Martin. A Democratic strategist is apologizing to Ann Romney for saying the stay-at-home wife of Mitt Romney never worked a day in her life, and so she isn't qualified to speak on women and the economy. UN Security Council members have been told that Syria's compliance with a ceasefire plan doesn't go far enough. According to UN diplomats, that's the view from the international envoy Kofi Annan, who briefed the council earlier today. The Dow is up about 164 points, the NASDAQ ahead, 38. More details at srnnews.com.
Why travel to Paris in search of that special antique when you have Augustus Paris Antiques right here in Tucson? Owner Roberta Fransheim specializes in selecting one-of-a-kind pieces of European antique furniture and objects of art from the 19th century to mid-20th century chic. Augustus Paris Antiques is located at 2522 East Fort Lowell, just east of the intersection of Fort Lowell and Tucson Boulevard. Augustus Paris Antiques, 289-5181.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Well, Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We are at 12:34 on this Thursday afternoon. Every 3 weeks here on the Buckmaster Show, we're delighted to introduce to our listeners a leader of one of Arizona's largest companies and or organizations. The CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Trio. Trio offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, Trio has facilitated the relocation and or expansion of more than 40 companies in the Tucson region, representing nearly 11,000 jobs and a $2 billion economic impact. For more information, visit Trio, that's T-R-E-O, AZ.org. And today we talk with Patty Feeney, president of Southern Arizona Marketing, for our market, the market of Southern Arizona for J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. Patty is responsible for managing Chase's Southern Arizona Commercial Banking Department, which supports clients with sales of $10 to $25 million. In addition, she serves on the board of directors of Trio and the boards at La Paloma Services and Junior Achievement. Patty, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Everybody's asking the same question. How is the economic recovery going?
From our perspective, we think things are looking up. Lending is up across the firm. Small business loans are up 52% in 2011 as compared to prior year. We extended $17 billion in new credit to small businesses last year and were the number one SBA lender nationally. On the commercial side, commercial loans are up 18% year over year. We issued new credit cards in 2011 to 8.5 million people. We originated 765,000 mortgages. And beyond that, we support other types of organizations, such as non-for-profit organizations and government entities. We supported 1,200 of those last year by either extending credit or raising capital of $68 billion. In Southern Arizona, we've seen similar numbers in terms of loan growth, with our customers making the decision to expand or make capital expenditures, purchase equipment, refi, or perhaps purchase the building they've been operating in or even construct a new one. So we consider the increases in lending as a positive indicator of the economy.
You know, Patty, so many people will say, well, there's just not money available to lend, but it sounds like that's not true. It sounds like the money is there.
The money is there, and the numbers speak for themselves. So from our perspective, you hear a lot in the media that no one is lending, but that's simply not the case.
What does it take? What should a someone that's looking to get a loan, what do they need to do? What do they need to present? How do they need to present themselves to you?
If it's a business customer, what we need to see are typically three fiscal year ends, some interim statements, and then depending on whether you're talking about a small business or a commercial loan, we'll want to see personal financial statements of the owners. Most of those kinds of companies are family owned, and so it's important to see that. If it's an individual, we have, and all the banks have kind of stepped back and are now looking at more traditional ways to lend, specifically with regard to mortgages. We're back to 80% loan to value, verifying income, and the things that we did in years past.
Yeah, it's kind of the way it used to be, right?
Yes, definitely.
Patty Feeney is with us. Feeney, excuse me. Sounds very Irish, Patty.
That's my husband's name.
Oh, okay. President of Southern Arizona Market for J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. I understand there's a big push to kind of help veterans in our community.
Yes, yes. And we are focusing on helping active duty military as well as veterans. We all owe a great deal of thanks to these folks for the sacrifices that they've made as well as the sacrifices that their families make. We are helping them as they decide to retire and become veterans. We're helping them obtain jobs and transition to civilian life. We hired 3,000 military in 2011, and we founded the 100,000 Jobs Mission, where we joined five other firms to attempt to hire 100,000 vets.
That's good news.
Yeah, it's great.
That's very new. That's very good.
It's really great. We have for the active duty, we've designed a website specifically for them, for before deployment, during deployment, to help them take actions and think of things that they might not otherwise think of. We offer free job training and programs for the military and their families. And then probably lastly, we have we opened 6 Chase home ownership centers near military bases. These are centers that we started to open in 2009 in an effort to help customers that were under financial stress, to try to help them stay in their homes.
So this is not only an effort to help veterans get jobs, but it's also to help them have secure housing.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, the whole package, it's really good, and Chase is to be commended for really helping our veterans for when they do come back into civilian life.
Absolutely.
And small business, there's also a partnership you've got going now at the University of Arizona to help small businesses. How is that going?
Chase has partnered with the U of A Eller College for years, but recently we've expanded deepened our partnership with the U. We awarded a $135,000 grant to the University of Arizona for the Eller Economic Development Program. And that program is designed to bring students and faculty together with business owners in South Tucson to help them grow their businesses, get them started, and ultimately succeed. We have 4 components to the program. It includes classes for the business owners on basics of business. We'll be providing consulting services for smaller groups of businesses. There will be quarterly events that bring business owners together so they can network, discuss the latest issues and ideas. And then there will be computer tutoring for those folks that have in-home businesses. And the Chase employees will participate by volunteering their time to work with the businesses and also offer consulting services. So we just announced that this past December, and we're very excited about it.
Patty Feeney is with us, and she's president of Southern Arizona Market for J.P. Morgan Chase Bank. This is part of our CEO interview series presented by TRIO. You can find out more about TRIO at trioaz.org. You do serve on the board of TRIO, Patty. How do you think it's going, the economic developing right now? How do you think the effort is going?
With TRIO?
Yeah.
I think it's going great. I think a lot of – there have been changes in the last year with regard to the focus. It's not just – it's become more of a private organization with more of the large companies around town participating and joining the board. And they're relying more on the private organizations to support TRIO as opposed to having it coming all from municipalities and cities and the government. And it's a great organization.
What do you think the key is then to economic development in our community? Is there a particular thing that you think we need to be focusing on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things we discuss in TRIO. I think we have to change the, and I think we've done this. We changed the way that we look at Tucson. Companies not going to come here any longer just because we have nice weather and pretty sunsets. So you have to change. You know, you have to make it an environment that is favorable for a company to want to come here. You have to have employees, educated employees, if you want to bring in higher paying jobs. So we need to focus on our education system significantly. And then there's issues surrounding transportation, which TRIO is always talking about with regard to airport, roads, et cetera, so that it's easy for companies to get in and out of Tucson and get around Tucson.
You know, going back to what you were saying about helping military vets, you said there was a website. Do you happen to have that information where the vets can get more information? Can they just get that through the Chase website?
If you go to the chase.com site, mm-hmm. It's on the first page. And I believe it's a Helping Militaries link that you can click on, and it'll take you right into that site.
Yeah, it's a very important issue, and especially in our community with so many folks attached to the military. And again,
absolutely.
I think Chase should be commended for that effort to help veterans. So overall, it sounds like the economy, and it seems to be turning the corner and picking up here in Tucson, the slow recovery.
Yes.
fairly
good. I would agree.
Okay.
We keep our fingers crossed.
All right. Patty Feeney, president of Southern Arizona Market for J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, has been our guest on the CEO interview series presented by Trio. Patty, thank you very much.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 1245 on The Buckmaster Show, we'll be talking about education with Dr. Robert Hendricks. He is The Buckmaster Show contributor on education as we continue on this Thursday afternoon. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 1249. Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Well, 10 former TUSD governing board members reached out this week to the sitting board to offer what they called constructive advice and recommendations. Those who signed the letter, which voiced displeasure with the board's actions regarding the Mexican-American Studies program, included Congressman Raul Grijalva, Joel Ireland, Mary Bell McCorkle, Eva Bacall, Alex Rodriguez, and Laura Almquist. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. Dr. Hendricks is the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies, and he has practiced and taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy analysis at the master's and doctoral level. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. He is a former Arizona top superintendent, named so in 1989. Bob, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Bill.
This letter, have you ever heard of anything like this happening, at least on the local level?
Unprecedented, in my opinion. I've worked with a lot of school boards, and I've never seen this kind of action on the part of former board members. And we're looking at a group of board members who have over 30 years of experience and a collective wisdom, I might say. When you read off those names, I'm reminded of what statespersons you listed there. I mean, these are people who are well-respected, have a great deal of esteem in the community, and who served the governing board over a period of years quite well. And so for them to come together, who I might say they not always have shared the same specific views about things on education, but for them to come together and write such an insightful letter, I think really is a unique thing that really needs to get the attention of the current sitting board.
What do you think it was? Do you think it was the appearance by board member Michael Hicks on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart on the Comedy Central last week that may have been the straw that broke the camel's back?
Well, I certainly think it was a tinderbox moment. I listened to that interview. It's not a show that I regularly watch.
I don't watch that program, but I did watch the 5-minute clip that was available.
I did too, and I was utterly astounded that a board member would be a part of that kind of interview, knowing full well that the venue of that kind of a program would be satirical in nature. But I think beyond that, there's sort of a cautionary tale here, Bill, is that when you serve on a board, one of the first lessons you need to learn is that a board is defined as duly constituted when they meet collectively. And so when you're an individual board member and you're out in the community, in your local community, state community, national community, when you speak, you need to be very, very careful to indicate that these are your individual views and aren't the collective views of the board. And it's a slippery slope, but it's one that I think is really, really important to remember, because this interview, as an example, reflected very, very poorly on this gentleman's governing board, on the district, on the state.
Certainly, and the city of Tucson.
Right.
I think it just really, it's an embarrassment for those of us who are residents here of Southern Arizona. I really believe that it is a big embarrassment for
us. Yeah, there's nothing redeeming about it.
There's nothing.
No. And it's sad that it happened. But again, I think I think to look at the picture a little bit more broadly, the cautionary tale, as I said before, is that individual board members really need to be careful about not that they don't have the entitlement to speak out, but they have to be very careful about that. And if their comments are construed in any way of being divisive, that's going to hurt the collective decisions of the board. And I think what part of this letter is saying, and it does address the Mexican-American studies, but it, in a larger context, it's saying you have a responsibility to represent this community collectively as a board, and you can't go out into the community and make statements and provide comments that are going to be incendiary in nature. And I think this interview, plus I think some other things that some other comments that I've read that have been attributed to other board members suggests that they're not on the same page. And that is not to say that a board
has to be on the same
page. No, they can disagree, but they need to learn the rules to work together, to disagree in an agreeable way, because at the end of the day, I hope that they all want the same thing, and that is what is best for the youngsters of their community.
Dr. Robert Hendricks is with us. He is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, and certainly the big story of the week on the education front is what's been going on with TUSD, and then there was the very contentious board meeting that went on this week. It's really a public relations disaster. Perhaps folks disagree with me on this. Love to hear from you, 790-2040. But again, getting back to the Hicks interview, I think that is going to do a lot and have lasting harm
to
TUSD.
So
I really do.
I think so, too. But in listening to portions of the meeting on Tuesday night, I'm struck by the fact that The fundamental purpose of a governing board meeting is to conduct the business of the district. How much business can be conducted? How productive can a district be in moving forward when they have this kind of major distraction? And it just seems to be coming back over and over and over again. And what I think really was more than civil disobedience displayed on Tuesday night by an audience. The catcalling, the real discourtesy of
smoke bomb.
Yeah, just it's beyond understanding.
Someone has
to get a grip on this, because the district is going to be dysfunctional if they can't move on. And moving on doesn't mean to ignore what they've done, because I've heard many comments about seeking alternatives to the dismantled MAS program. But I think people have to work together with that. And it simply because it got dismantled and a group of people did not get their way.
We had a caller, by the way, Dr. Yeah. Hendricks, who wanted to know where can they, they wondered about the interview itself. They had not heard about this interview, and it was conducted on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart on the Comedy Central with board member, TUSD board member Michael Hicks. And I think if they Google that—
You can find it on YouTube.
Yeah,
the whole thing is on YouTube.
Yeah, it aired on April the 2nd. The particular interview, so it is on YouTube, and folks can watch that. It's about 5 minutes long, and they can come to their own conclusion, but I'm coming to the conclusion. I'm telling you, it's a big embarrassment from Tucson, and you agree with me on that. So where does the board go from here? I've only got less than a minute to go.
Well,
30 seconds.
I would hope that they would pursue the avenue of looking for some alternatives to the previously structured MAS program, and I believe that they're doing that. But I think that they have to continue to work in a consultative way with this group of people who feel that they have really been beset upon in a way that has devastated their future, there are alternatives. And we know that the state made some major economic threats to the district. So you pull back, you restructure, and you look for a different way to deliver a curriculum.
Bob Hendricks, thank you very much. We'll talk more about this at a later time. Thanks for your input on the show today, Bob. Thank you.
Sure.
The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates Certified Public Accountants. They're at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger, that's RIEGER.com. That'll do it today for the Buckmaster Show. We'll be back tomorrow. Friday Focus, Jeff Rogers, Pima County Chair, tomorrow. See you then.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas. The